Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
So, welcome everyone. My name is Carolina Pardo, and I'm a partner in the Bogota office of Baker McKenzie. And I am a member of the Global Steering Committee of our Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Industry Group, or TMT Group, as we call it. And we'd like to welcome you to another episode of our TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast designed to help clients navigate and prioritize via insights from top legal advisors in strategic technology markets. This year, we launched the latest edition of our flagship publication, TMT Looking Ahead, where we present themes, insights, and recommendations that TMT companies should know in a five-part series. Our first report focuses on regulation and compliance. As the pace of innovation accelerates, new regulatory and compliance questions and considerations will continue to arise. In report number one, Baker McKenzie experts share insights around developments in tech regulation and compliance that will affect TMT companies, specifically in the key areas of artificial intelligence, data, antitrust preparedness, cybersecurity, and, as we will be discussing today, the wider compliance and investigation activities in the TMT sector that are expected to increase this year. Today, I have the pleasure of having my fellow partners, Joram Thomas and Jindi Gashinde. Jindi is a partner in the dispute resolution team at Baker McKenzie London and a member of the firm's Global Investigations, Compliance and Ethics Practice. Jindi's practice is focused on advising clients on compliance with anti-bribery and anti-money laundering laws, as well as related internal and agency-led investigations. Joram is the co-chair of the firm's North America Government Enforcement Practice Group. He has extensive experience representing clients in government litigation and enforcement investigations before the SEC, DOJ, various United States Attorney's Office, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. So thrilled to have you both, and welcome.
Happy to be here, Carolyn.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's all a pleasure. So let me start by asking Joram the following question. The U.S. and international markets have been in turmoil since the last several months, with certain luminaries even using the term stagflation in certain parts of the world. What do you think, Joram, that means for the U.S. and multinational enforcement landscape?
Yeah, thanks, Carolina. Look, I mean, certainly it goes without saying that the equity markets are in a bit of turmoil right now, and inflation is at a several decades high, at least here in the United States. Now, whether that means we're going into a recession or some other prolonged bout of economic turmoil, nobody really knows. But the one thing that I think is a truism in investigation space, if you will, in law enforcement space, is whenever there's economic and market disruptions, there tends to be, you typically see, an increase in investigative activity. What exactly is going to drive that investigative activity, and what will that activity be focused on? Largely, it is anybody's guess, although there are some pretty good guesses, right? And it's typically, what is the government saying? What are government authorities looking at? What are they saying they're going to investigate? And, you know, we work regularly, not only with clients, but interface with government lawyers, you know, both within these agencies and ones that have recently left. And a couple of themes we are hearing over and over. One, I think cyber incidents and cyber preparedness will continue to be an issue that companies in this industry and in the tech and telecommunications and media industries need to be mindful of. New threats, zero-day malware and ransomware are an everyday occurrence, not only in this industry, but in the economy as a whole. Boards of directors and management need to prepare for this. And our suggestion is, and this is from experience, is don't wait for the incident to occur before you actually are determining whether you're ready for it. Our strong advice is go through a mock data incident. Set aside a half day with your board and with your management and run through an exercise. You'd be amazed what you can learn about what gaps need to be filled there. The government is really focused on this. There is this public-private partnership that the government is very much focused on that, frankly, companies aren't quite used to. Companies typically view the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI as and the DOJ as a law enforcement agency. But in this space, it is different. And the government is very much focused on sending a message that there is a partnership, that companies are victims here. And they're not out to get the companies and prosecute the companies who are victims. They do need the assistance of the companies in pursuing the perpetrators. In addition to that, there's a host of new rules and regulations being implemented by not only the Securities Exchange Commission on cyber risk and cyber disclosure, but also by CISA on critical infrastructure companies reporting from a mandatory standpoint. Now it's voluntary, but there are regulations that will be eventually promulgated requiring mandatory reporting of substantial data breach incidents. Now, what that means and what companies are brought into that rubric remains to be seen through regulations, but it certainly is something that we are seeing as an emerging trend. I think another thing that we are also very mindful of is the national security-related investigations. And particularly here, we're looking at sanctions-related investigations. There's been an uptick in the past several years, or certainly a steady stream of OFAC enforcement actions against technology, media, and telecommunications companies. Given the geopolitical strife and, frankly, what I will call nationalism, economic nationalism, that is emerging, I suspect that sanctions-related investigations, both from a government and an internal standpoint, will continue. And accordingly, companies need to make sure that they're periodically assessing what their sanctions risk is in emerging markets and frankly, in any market where there's a heightened sanction risk. Third, I think that, obviously there's always going to be pressure when there's economic turmoil from an accounting, a sales practices, and a revenue recognition standpoint. You know, the old tried and true, when there's economic pressure, there's pressure to sell, and keep revenue coming in. That's as old as the day is long, and the governments know about that. So I expect if we do see some prolonged economic strife, that there will be increased economic or investigative activity into that. And then finally, it bears watching what other jurisdictions are doing from a political and a judicial investigation standpoint, because often there can be, bodies convened. For example, in South Africa, the Nugent Commission and the Zondo Commission are investigating allegations of state capture and historic corruption. Those local or country-specific investigations can mushroom into multi-jurisdiction law enforcement investigations, including authorities in the United States and the UK. So watching what is happening in jurisdictions far off can actually, from an investigation standpoint, from a judicial commission, if you will, standpoint, can oftentimes be a foreshadow of what you might run into down the road in your own country from an investigation standpoint. And so it does bear monitoring as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimram. And I think that the past 2 years have if I may, sort of reshuffle many of the facts on which we based our conception of reality. And if I were to ask you in a couple of sentences, if possible, what are the governance issues, risks, and opportunities afforded by the changes that we have seen in the last couple of years?
A couple sentences, I will say information, governance, retrenchment, and supply chain retrenchment. I've always lived in a world where I assumed it would get flatter and more global. In light of developments, both economic and legal, over the past several years, I suspect supply chains and information governance will be more regionally based, so as to avoid things, for example, like the China cybersecurity law and the pitfalls of getting information out of China. And so those two things, which I think are going to be an issue, run counter to globalization, but they are things that I certainly am thinking about, and I think boards and management.
Excellent, Jerome. Thank you so much. And trying to predict the future, which is always, of course, a challenge, but I'm going to try to ask you, Jindy, about what factors do you expect to drive the enforcement in the TMT industry in the future? What do you see now that may allow you to try to predict what companies may be challenged with in the future?
Thanks, Carolina. Great question. And yes, I'll try and do a bit of crystal ball gazing. I think there are two or three factors I'd want to pick up on. The first is whistleblower activity, and I think that's going to be a big focus of enforcement action in the future, and also the reason why a number of tech companies will need to do their own internal investigations. So, and one area in particular where I think this is likely to be a focus is in respect of ESG-related issues. Certainly, our global investigations, compliance, and ethics practice has seen a lot more investigations in the past few years, which have focused on issues like modern slavery, allegations of discrimination, which have gone beyond just the employment law sphere, particularly where there have been broader reputational and possible litigation risks at play, and conduct and governance issues, for example, reviewing the conduct of the board of a company. And in terms of the ones that I've been involved in recently, I'd say the majority were precipitated by whistleblowers, both internal and external. And I think that this is only likely to increase for various reasons. One in particular is due to the strengthening of whistleblower legislation in a number of jurisdictions. So there is the EU whistleblower directive that came into law a few years ago now, and the purpose of that being to encourage the reporting of unlawful conduct. And its implementation, although quite slow in a number of member states, I think is likely to embolden whistleblowers in some EU jurisdictions in particular. And picking up on that theme, I know that in Japan, they've recently made amendments to their Whistleblower Protection Act, which are coming into force or have just come into force. And likewise in Hong Kong, its stock exchange recently amended its corporate governance code to include provisions on the implementation of a whistleblowing policy and systems for employees. And that came into force at the start of the year. And that's in addition to the existing, you know, US SEC whistleblower reward program, which has entered its 10th year and which receives a growing number of whistleblower reports every year, and not just from whistleblowers in the US, but around the world. And for those who don't know, under that program, whistleblowers can receive huge sums if their reports lead to a successful enforcement action and related action by the SEC. And some of the awards, you know, go well into the millions. I think the largest is $114 million. So I think whistleblower activity will be driving enforcement in the future. I think increased regulation generally of the tech sector. You know, there's a lot of new legislation coming in the EU, in the UK. All of this will require, you know, a lot of due diligence by organisations, which I think will maybe mean that issues are likely to be uncovered, which need to be investigated, or at least require information to be put out there, which may lead to enforcement by regulators who are ramping up. And a lot of this legislation has, you know, pretty sharp teeth. So, you know, we've got the UK Online Safety Bill, which is focused on protecting consumers online. It's also the EU Digital Markets Act and Digital Services Act. And all of these legislation are going to increase pressure on tech companies in coming years, and they come with huge penalties. So I think under the online safety bill, it can be fined up to 10% of global turnover. And with all of this legislation, as I say, it will require tech companies to do a lot of due diligence and potentially uncover issues which may lead to problems. And I think another piece of legislation that's likely to do the same thing is the proposed EU law on corporate sustainability and due diligence obligations. And that will require companies to identify actual or potentially adverse human rights and environmental impact within their own operations and their supply chain, and require them to publish details of their due diligence. And if they find issues, you know, publish information about how they'll seek to rectify it. So with this increasing amount of information that we put out there by tech companies and other companies more broadly, I think, as I said, that as companies start preparing for this new legislative landscape, things will come out of the woodwork, which will require investigation, which may ultimately lead to enforcement. So whistleblowers and regulation are my two top picks, Carolina.
Thank you, Jindy. And listening to you, I see the word challenge at the backstage of everything that you have discussed. So perhaps as a wrap up, you can give us your two cents on what are the biggest challenges, which I think you have already outlined somehow, but clearly, from your experience, there are also lessons learned and things that we can share with our audience on how things can be handled and these challenges can be administered. So can you give us some quick insights on that?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, managing the increase in compliance requirements that I mentioned will be a challenge. You know, as I said, a lot is being thrown at tech companies, and the stakes are so high with these huge fines, not to mention the reputational damage that could follow. So I think related to this, it will require the expansion of tech companies' compliance functions and their remit. So for example, when the European Parliament was adopting its position on the Digital Markets Act, it stated that it envisaged that affected companies would establish a compliance function expressly to monitor the company's compliance with the Act. And I actually think that for many companies, instead, they'll just add to the already very long to-do list of their existing compliance functions. I think related to this, you know, is managing resources. You know, companies are going to have to focus more on compliance whilst also doing everything else they have to do, which is, you know, innovate, put out products and services for their customers, manage their existing work and grow. So I think managing the resources that are required will be a big challenge. And I think finally, I think one that's a bit different is that I think many tech companies and also companies more generally have been showing recently a desire to respond to a lot of stakeholder pressure that they've been receiving, particularly in respect of transparency. And we're seeing a lot more companies in various sectors, as I say, proactively publishing findings of reports and investigations and wanting to do that to satisfy their stakeholders' requests for information. And I think the flip side of this is that this can make them vulnerable, you know, to litigation, not to mention enforcement. And this needs to be managed so that they're not making themselves a hostage to fortune whilst trying to respond to the increasing stakeholder pressure that they're receiving. So those are my thoughts on the challenges too.
Thank you very much, Jindy. And I'm sure that all these comments will be very useful for our audience. I will wrap up now and only thank both of you for these very, very useful tips and information. And sorry to try to push you to predict the future, but I believe that the expertise that you have and the things that you're seeing on a day-to-day basis will be very interesting and helpful to our audience. And in the meantime, I only have to ask our audience to read our TMT Looking Ahead report and find some more descriptions and insights from different regulatory aspects for TMT industry companies. So thank you very much, Jindy and Jerome, and thank you everyone for joining us today. We hope that you can join us in a new episode of our TMT podcast. Thank you.